Hello and welcome to another episode of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real World Perspectives. My name is Diana Isaacs. I am joined by my co-host, Natalie Bellini. And in this episode, we want to talk all things CGM updates. And we have updates on three of the CGM manufacturers that include Dexcom, Libre, and Medtronic. So we decided to be most fair, we'd go in alphabetical order. So starting off with Dexcom, very exciting news that the Dexcom G7 15-day sensor was FDA approved. And so as it says in its name, it is now 15 days compared to the current G7, which is 10 days, plus it has a 12-hour grace period. Actually, the new 15-day version will also have a 12-hour grace period. So that'll be 15 and a half days. So Natalie, what are your thoughts on this?
I think this is great. People don't like to change CGM. They don't like to do it. So this brings Dexcom up to more competitively compared to their Libre 3 Plus and Libre 2 Plus CGM competitors. And it will allow people to reduce the number of times they have to insert and change those sensors. So again, it's all about the person that we're talking to and reducing that burden. This is going to reduce the burden. But I will say, and you and I were talking about this earlier, there will be some challenges. We're seeing it even in the 15-day Libres, where some of them just don't seem to last as long as we want them to. Right?
Yes. Yeah, no, definitely. So this isn't secret. In the press release from Dexcom, it does say at the bottom of the press release that a study was conducted to assess the sensor life, where 73.9% of sensors lasted the full 15 days. Approximately 26% of the sensors may not last the full 15 days. So I think that is an important point. The longer a wear life, the more chances that it could fall off earlier. It could get snagged. You could rip it off. There's a number of things that could happen. So that's not shocking, but I guess the question is going to be, well, what are people going to do for, I guess, the one out of every four sensors that may not last the full time? Kind of what's going to be that process? Because currently people can, you know, call in, they can go online, they can request a replacement, but there may be a limit. And so I guess we'll have to see what the response is going to be in terms of how easy it'll be for people to get it replaced. Because the one thing I advise my patients is that they can't just go to the pharmacy to ask for a replacement because insurance will not cover extra sensors. And so they're going to be told no, or they're going to be told they'll have to pay out of pocket for that. So that's
Yeah, and this happens all the time. People then will call the office and say, hey, do you have an extra one? Well, that's not what they're for, right? We don't have enough. We don't get sampled enough to fix everyone's problem. So we're very careful in our practice to say, you need to call the 800 number. You can also do it through your phone app. You don't even have to speak to someone. You know, you need to know that sometimes sensors fail and you need to know how to replace them on your own. It actually, if we think about it, really does help the manufacturer too to know when there are issues. So if people don't replace them, they will run out early, number one. But number two, the manufacturer doesn't know that there might be like a bad lot or an issue with certain, you know, how do we know if the placement's appropriate? Because they do ask questions. Where do you wear it? How did you apply it? Is this, you know, those kinds of things, right? And so I think that the only way to improve the wearability and the and continue to extend that length of the sensors is to make sure that people report them. And we can't be the sample. We don't have enough. We barely have enough to start new people on them in the office to make sure we can teach them appropriately, right? So I think that's a big education point here is if a sensor fails, you need to call it in. Now, Dexcom in the last year or two has said if sensors fall off more than three times, we'll replace three in a year, right? But they have not said if a sensor fails. And so I'm curious to see what happens about sensor failures and sensors that have issues with, you know, either accuracy or whatever. I've not had issues with people trying to replace sensors that have had problems like that. If someone's having lots of sensors fall off, we need to go back and figure out what they're doing to make them not stay on the whole time. Are they using moisturizing soap, which tends to be the bane of my existence? you know, any of those moisturizing soaps make it very difficult for the sensor to stay on. So we start with use a soap that isn't moisturizer based. Make sure that you clean the skin with real soap and real water, and, you know, use a prep, an alcohol prep that has some property in it that would help it stick, like Skin Tack or one of those, so that we're actually really understanding that you want to keep this in for 2 weeks, right? And then sometimes we'll use an overlay patch. Sometimes we'll use those kinds of things. So the adhesive thing should be addressed. You can call the company and they can help you with some of that, and should be addressed when you see your provider too, though. Like, they just don't stay on me for as long, and we can help solve those things, right? The issues with true sensor errors, where it says your sensor has failed, whatever, with all the companies, need to go through the companies. And that's really important so that they know, they can keep track of which ones are working and which ones aren't, to help us if in case there needs to be a recall or those kinds of things.
Yeah. You know, my pie in the sky wish is that Dexcom would still provide 3 sensors per month. And that would give people wiggle room, and hopefully the sensors will last the full 15 days. But then they actually have extra and aren't in this frantic, oh my gosh, I gotta go request a replacement. My experience has been that if it is a sensor error, if it does stop early, as long as the person saves it and can provide that information to Dexcom, like the sensor number, the serial number, all that stuff, then they'll typically send a replacement. But it's just the added not knowing, oh gosh, I was expecting this to last 15 days and it stops at day 13. And does the person have an extra sensor on them and all that stuff? So I think it would be so nice if there was actually extra supplies. And I'll tell you, Medtronic, actually, they have done this. Now, they have a 7-day sensor wear with the Guardian, but their packages include 5 so per month. So it's like, I just think it's nice to have extra. I mean, back in the world of test strips, we always made sure people had a little extra. Like, you understand things happen, right? People should have a little extra. It shouldn't be down to the right. last drop of right. anything.
I see, though, that Dexcom has tried to do that by giving everyone an extra half a day with every single sensor, right? I also see that maybe you get one extra a quarter. Even if you had one a quarter, it would make a difference, right? So I guess you and I are challenging our companies to say, you might just reduce the number of calls by giving them one extra every quarter might be enough. I mean, there are people who never have problems, and there are people that tend to have more problems. That's another challenge, right? How do we identify those people that tend to have all kinds of sensor issues? And then you see the next 5 or 6 people that come in that have never had to call in a sensor, right? And there's a balance in between all of that. So I'm wondering even if one extra every 90 days would be enough to cover. Because remember, when you have a sensor that only lasts 13 days, when you call in, or 10 days right now, or 9 days, let's say, for a current Dexcom G7, you get a whole extra 10 free days, right? You get that one day that you missed, plus an extra 9 days. So you should, even if you have to call in 3 or 4 a year, kind of have a decent, unless it fails very early on in the sensor life, which we don't tend to have a whole lot of. It tends to either fail immediately upon insertion because something was done with the insertion inappropriately, like it wasn't held straight, it wasn't whatever, or it's towards the end where it's just the life is just not lasting for whatever reasons, right? And in those two cases, one, you need the full replacement, but a lot of times when you replace them at the end, you're getting like 7 or 8 free days plus the 2 that you missed from the sensor needing to replace early. So if you call in 3 or 4 a year, you've now got 32 extra days. So I think we need to think about it as like, there's also that. If you call in one sensor, there's a little bit of wiggle room every time you do that as well. So I don't know that someone needs an extra one every single month, but I do believe that, wow, wouldn't that be amazing if they got one extra every 90 days, if they can order 90 days plus one extra. We'll see what happens. I would love it either way, right?
Yeah, that would be true for those that can get 90-day supplies.
Right, right. Yep.
People can't. But yeah, I mean, we're focusing so much on the sensor not lasting, but actually there's so much good news and good data. So the accuracy was presented at ATTD and published. And so the accuracy looks as good or even better than the current Dexcom G7. There is one thing that I think is important to note. The FDA approval is for ages 18 and over, not in kids. So that's going to be an important consideration. And I would imagine means that they're going to have both products, at least for a certain amount of time, both products will need to be available because for kids, they would use the original 10-day Dexcom G7. And then the other thing is they did say they're going to be working on the AID collaborations. So this is not expected to be out until the second half of this year. So hopefully by then, the integrations will happen with the insulin pumps, because I could see some confusion if the original 10-day G7 will work with some pumps, but then the 15-day doesn't. And I already experienced this with different pumps and CGM integrations. So we don't want more confusion. So hopefully when it is out, it'll work with all the things that the current G7 works with.
Absolutely. They've got plenty of time to do that now because we know it's not launching till second half of this year. So we've got some time, which will be nice, right? And I agree. I think we need to take a step back now that we've talked about all the problems with CGM and not lasting long enough and we need extras and we do all that. That more than 70% of them last the whole time. And again, this is going to reduce burden overall. This is going to help the people with diabetes that need it the most. And it takes away a lot of extra changes in between. So I'm excited. I can't wait to try it.
I love that. Glass half full. Definitely. It's three quarters full. So that's
exactly. It's three quarters full. Right. And that's where we have to do with this is that, you know, so I will say I'm wondering when G6 is going to go away altogether now. That'll be a nice thing. Yep.
I mean, probably soon, but it's still the only Dexcom that works with the Omnipod 5 on the iPhone. So
we're, I mean, absolutely not right this minute, but eventually I do believe that G6 will become obsolete and they'll have a ceased manufacturing date.
Yeah, I almost took somebody this week back from, she's on G7 and put her on G6 because we're trying to start her on Omnipod 5. And looking in her app store, she couldn't download the G7 app, but G6 was downloadable. But then I remembered from a previous time that once I had a patient that downloaded that app and thought we would be good to go. And then you open it and it says incompatible.
Yep. And it shuts itself down. Great. Yep.
Right.
Yep.
I was like, wait. Before we do anything, download that app. We got to see what happens. And sure enough, it was incompatible. So that squashed that. So anyway, all right, we've talked about Dexcom. Now let's talk about Libre, because Libre has had a very exciting update. They have a new mobile app that is called the Libre app. But why is this new and exciting?
It is so exciting. Yes.
They have a Libre 2 app and a Libre 3 app, and those are still available for now, but those are going to be, I would imagine, going away and replaced by just the Libre app, which then can work with any Libre sensor. And I think that just simplifies it. It's one app to remember, one app to download. And the new app interface is really nice.
I love it. It is so much. It just feels a little more user friendly. It feels like you're going home to your own family for dinner. Like, that's the difference. It's a little less. It just feels more warm. I don't know if it's the graphic, if it's the print size. I don't even know. But it just, you open it up and it feels more intuitive, even if it's. But right, like, it just feels better. I also,
the colors are better too. I like
the right. The colors are better. It's just like, it's like I said that to someone the other day. Is that it feels like we're going home, right? I don't even know what it was. I was like, oh, I love this. The one nice thing is too that Libre 2 Plus that we're using. Remember, Libre 2 and 3 without the Plus next to it are going to be. They're stopping manufacturing and they won't be available in September of 2025 any longer. The 2. When you're not using it in an AID system, the regular Libre 2 Plus will, with this new app, be not intermittently scanned anymore. It takes that away. And that, you know, we still see people who have used Libre 2 Plus as an independent sensor because their insurance prefers it. They prefer it because they're used to it. But then sometimes people forget to scan because remember that Libre 2 transmitter holds 8 hours of data and the data is held in the transmitter. And so we see some gaps in the data, and that's very typical, actually. Not every single person, but a lot of people don't scan every single 8 hours, and this will eliminate that. So ultimately what this means to us is there is no more intermittently scanned iCGM. It will be removed from the ADA guidelines. We're super excited because it will be still, though, I think, available in other countries for a while, but at least in the U.S., There will be no more intermittently scanned as soon as Libre 2 is gone. And this new app, it replaces it with 2 plus and 3 plus, will both act the same way, right? So this is amazing to me because it will help us improve patient care. It's hard to remember to scan sometimes.
Yeah, well, so for sure. And this is the Libre app, to be able to have it, Libre 2 in real time, has been available in many other countries, not all countries.
Yes.
But there are some that are still using the 14-day and still need to scan. But it has been available. And so the technology has been there. So I'm glad now, really, in the U.S., no one should need to scan to be able to see their readings. But the other thing I'll say is, if someone's on the Libre 2, why don't they switch to Libre 3? I think
occasionally we have someone who's got insurance coverage with one, with the, it's, it just hasn't happened yet.
Yep.
I mean, I've seen it this week, right? We want them to switch. We don't want to use intermittently scanned if we don't have to. But we do have these occasional people who have these odd insurance plans that just don't cover it or don't cover it at the same cost. So that
we like do the only use case, at least I can really think of, other than insurance coverage, of course, would be for pump compatibility. Because right now, for example, with the T-Slim X2, it's still Libre 2 Plus. Fortunately, and also with the Omnipod 5, it's Libre 2 Plus. Fortunately, with the Twist and with the iLet, it's now Libre 3 Plus, which is great. I would imagine probably in the nearish future, it's going to be Libre 3 for all. I mean, they're
absolutely
both great sensors. And if the Libre 2 is in real time, I mean, really, it's not much difference. They're both 15 days. I think it's just it's a little bit smaller, the Libre 3. And so it's, you know, it's a nice option to be able to have as opposed to Libre.
Absolutely. So if you haven't downloaded and played with the app, please do so as a clinician. I highly encourage you to get comfortable with it. And you'll when you download it, you'll say what we did. It just feels better. I don't even know how to explain that more than that, but it really does. I'm impressed.
So one other thing I want to highlight, because I don't think we've talked about it yet. This happened a few weeks ago. Libre now works with Gluco. So
yes.
I am over the moon about this because my health system uses Gluco and we have an EHR integration with Epic and Gluco. And so we have been hoping for this for a long time. I'm not going to lie. Back several months ago when we heard Tidepool got the integration with Libre, I was like excited for them. But I was like, all right, when is Gluco coming? When is Gluco coming? And so it's here. And not only is it here, but it's actually it's implemented. So it's not that they also announced the collaboration is going to happen. It is actually
it's done. Yeah,
it's done. And so in the app itself, whether you're using the Libre app or even the older Libre 2 and Libre 3 app, you now can directly link your data to Gluco through the Bluetooth. I have tried it out because, of course, I'm like, I need to try this. I need to see how it looks, how easy it is or not easy it is. I'm happy to say I feel it's pretty easy to do. And I was actually surprised. I hadn't played with Gluco. I mean, we use Gluco to download Omnipod or view Omnipod 5 data. But other than that, you know, haven't been playing around with it too much. So I've been starting to play around with it with my own data with this app. And I'm like actually really impressed. There's some new features I didn't know about. Like you can talk and say banana and it'll like tell you how many carbs. Like you can say your food and it'll put it in and then put the carbs in. So that there's just some nice features of like aggregating all the data, like all your activity data. That I was like, wow, this is really cool. And I'm so glad now that the Libre data is in there. Previously, Dexcom could go in, and Dexcom still can, which is great. But now we have Dexcom and we have Libre and Eversense data can go into Gluco as well. So that's just awesome. Yeah,
it is. And you know, again, it we always talk about reducing patient burden, people with diabetes, we want to reduce their burden, you know, a 10-day versus a 15-day. Think about the differences, all those things. But we as clinicians also have burden. And so if I can reduce the number of steps it takes to get data, to look at a patient, to look at what they need, to help make a clinical decision, we want to just smooth out everyone's lives, including ours. And this does make a huge difference. It really does.
Yeah. I mean, we've been hoping for data sharing
integration. Yes,
exactly. We've been asking for it for so long. It is finally getting better. It's not perfect, but it's gotten so
absolutely Absolutely.
So that's great. All right. Well, our third CGM update is Medtronic. And so they recently announced, finally, FDA approval for the Simplera Sync. Now, this might sound familiar because you might be thinking, wait, I thought the Simplera was already approved. And you wouldn't be wrong because there are two Simpleras. So there is the Simplera that is a standalone CGM that is paired with the Medtronic's InPen, their connected pen for insulin calculations. And the Simplera Sync is the same type of sensor, same idea, but this is the sensor that works with their 780G insulin pump. So it's exciting. It's finally here, finally approved. It was available, or it has been available in Europe for a while. In some notable things about it, probably the biggest notable thing is that there is not a separate transmitter piece with like the current Guardian 4, where you have to remove it and charge it every week, make sure it's charged before you can reinsert. So now it is a more, I would say, like Libre Dexcom G7-esque type of sensor where there is no separate transmitter. The whole thing is disposable. It is still a 7-day wear. So in comparison to our 10-day wears or now 15-day wears, we're not quite there yet, but it is fully disposable. And also the MARD, that's one of the determinations of accuracy, it was shown to be slightly lower, indicating possibly more accuracy from the current Guardian 4. So Natalie, curious your thoughts on this.
We have been waiting for this for so long. This is, you know, the Simplera is outside the U.S. in 30 countries and counting, right? This is not, it has just taken a while. And so we're excited. You know, the way the Medtronic, the Guardian 4 sensor has to be connected can be difficult for someone that's got any kind of pinch or grasp or any kind of, you know, dexterity issues due to diabetes complications, for example, right? And there's charging and there's all these other side, this, that, the other thing. We saw Simplera on several people, actually, when we were at ATTD, and we got great feedback there. People loved it, much easier. So much more like the sensors that we're used to here, where you pull it off, you throw it away, you start a new one, here we go, right? So I can't wait to offer it to the people already using Medtronic when it is available. But also, I think it's going to help, you know, there are people who you know, what does ADA say? So our guidelines say start someone with type 1 diabetes specifically on a CGM as soon as possible at diagnosis, right? We have a huge discharge program here at our healthcare system. People are going home on CGMs at diagnosis, but they don't go home ever on a Medtronic CGM because they're not available. There aren't those discharge programs. It's either going to be a Dexcom or a Libre. And we offer both. We look at, you know, all kinds of different ways to do that. So what happens when someone picks a pump in the United States is they say, well, what works with the CGM you put on my arm or my abdomen? And we say, well, you're on a Dexcom or, well, you're on a Libre if you want to stick with that. And they're comfortable with it. So it's not even about the fact that the person has chosen their pump, but they've already chosen their CGM and they've already had big changes in their lives because they're used to what they have. So it's time to offer a new pump. And we say, we have Medtronic, which has an amazing algorithm, by the way. You and I, Diana, love their algorithm, right? It's one of our favorites. And so this has this algorithm, it works with the Medtronic sensor. This one has this algorithm, it works with these two or three sensors. This one works with this. And as soon as they have to know that they have to switch to a new sensor, they're turned off, because they've already chosen their sensor, right? So I think that this is going to help Medtronic competitively as well, because we'll be able to say, look, this is a different CGM than you got at discharge, but it's very similar in that it's a fully disposable, you don't have to do anything extra with it. So I'm excited for them because I do believe in the Medtronic algorithm. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, me too. I mean, the algorithm is awesome. It's just we know the Guardian 4 sensor is a little bit behind on the technology, and that is often the rate limiting step for people kind of not, perhaps not choosing that one and going with others. So I do think this will increase uptake. I think some things to, I'm wondering. So they did say that it may be a more limited launch. And
I saw that too. Yeah.
Half of the
second half of 2025 and also a limited launch. So it'll be interesting to see what that actually means.
Right. Like who can get it, how easy it'll be to get it. But the other thing that's also planned is the Abbott collaboration.
Yes. Where
it's going to be essentially Libre sensors specifically made for Medtronic to work with their pump. So likely it's going to be more like a Libre 3. It's going to be a 15-day sensor. But I think what I read was that's planning to be submitted also later this year. So it's kind of, it'll be interesting, the timelines of these things. I guess I could envision Simplera will be out first, and then in the future, there will be this Libre-esque sensor that will work with the pump. Regardless, it's a win all around because it will be just an easier to use sensor. And I think when I'm presenting the options to patients, because I really try to be objective and present, you know, all the information about the pumps and then allow them to choose, I really think seeing a sensor that looks more like what they're familiar with will just put it on a more
level playing field,
or even higher, because the algorithm is a really
so good
algorithm.
We love it. Yep.
Great. And I mean, like, I have a patient right now who started taking a GLP-1, and it's just, you know, we worry a little bit about experiencing hypoglycemia if settings aren't adjusted. And it's like the algorithm just rolled with him. it was really great to see that. And of course, his time in range actually went up a lot. But what I was concerned about is not having too much hypoglycemia, unfortunately, that everything's going well all around. So yeah, I'm always excited for this. And it'll just be so interesting kind of what happens in the future with the whole insulin pump market, with Twist coming very soon. And now people having another option, really a fifth option to choose from. That will be very exciting. And I guess we should mention, as long as we're on this topic, that we've talked before about the CAM APS algorithm.
So yes,
that's an algorithm that was approved ages 2 and over and in pregnancy. So that's like the super exciting thing, and it was approved by the FDA. The issue is that they don't have a pump partner at this time. So the pump that they work with outside the US is called the Ypsomed. But the Ypsomed was actually, their diabetes division was just sold to another company. So that's going to be really interesting, kind of what happens. I'm hoping that the other company will really try to drive and get the pump FDA approved. And ultimately, I just want to see the algorithm in the US, even though we already have great options. I just, pregnancy, that would be super awesome. But we'll see what happens.
We will. And, you know, the next part of the ADA guidelines say use an insulin pump, an AID system that can be adjusted to pregnancy guidelines, which at this point was that algorithm that had no pump. So there was none, right? And we, of course, don't take people off. We put people on AID systems and we do the best we can. Now, it'll be interesting because Sequel Twist will launch and it will have targets low enough to aim for those fasting glucoses less than 95, 1 hour, less than 140, 2 hours, less than 120. And so it'll be interesting to see where that goes. And once we can actually use it in real life and see that data live, more to come.
Right?
Yes, exactly.
All right. Well, this has been an awesome discussion. Thank you so much for tuning in. And that wraps up this episode of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real World Perspectives.